Would you pray with me? Love of God, we thank you for your word. Your word that bridges that gap between you and us through the words to your Son, through the Spirit available at baptism, not just to Jesus, but to all of us. May we hear that word and know it to be the truth and live it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to start with a question. Is there anybody here who, when I say Doctor Who, doesn't know what I'm talking about? Okay. I guess everybody knows about Doctor Who. Well, you know, that show started 52 years ago, in 1963. And they're on the 12th iteration of the Doctor. There's been 12 Doctors over those years. And if you know, if you've watched the show, you also know that the Doctor often has several sidekicks, young adults, who help him, who travel with him. He's a Time Lord who can go back and forth in time throughout the universe and save the world from malevolent creatures. Well, the 11th Doctor had the sidekicks Amy and Roy. And Amy and Roy fell in love and got married. And Roy was killed. He was turned into dust. And when that happens, Amy says to the Doctor, "Save him. You save everyone. You always do. That's what you do." And the Doctor said, "Not always. I'm sorry." And Amy responded, "Then what is the point of you? What is the point of you?" I think that's a question none of us would ever like to have put to us. What is the point of you? A question that cuts to the core of what we feel about who we are and what we're about. And if somebody said that to us, I think we stumble along because we weren't sure how to respond. What's the point of you? And if we listen and think and reflect about today's scripture passages, I think it gives us an answer to that question. Mark's gospel starts out when Jesus started his ministry with his baptism. And Jesus has a mystical experience when he comes out of the water of his baptism. The clouds open up and there's a voice that comes down and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove and the voice says, "This is my Son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." Now, notice that Mark only has Jesus experiencing this epiphany. We don't get the sense that anybody else can experience it. In a sense, they didn't see or hear the vision. Only Jesus. It's for his ears only. And now he knows who and what he is. He now knows the point of him. And you know, this is wonderful because this shows the creative genius of God. God loves people and gives them the Spirit that they may continue God's creative work. Participate with God in it. And it seemed to always happen around water. Notice how Genesis started. "The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." God's Spirit swept over the face of the waters. Can't you just imagine the mysterious creative energy that was flowing out and from God at that point? And when Jesus walked out of the Jordan, wondering what his baptism meant to him, he heard a voice. And it awakened him to the creative energy that allows him to chart the course of his life. Recently, I heard someone say to another person, "What would it feel like if you let yourself believe you are good at what you do?" Let me say that again. What would it feel like if you let yourself believe you are good at what you do? Think of the creative energy that could unleash in someone. That is what baptism is all about. Unleashing the creative energy of God's Spirit within us. When God says, "You are my beloved," might that not be God freeing us from whatever binds us that keeps us from using what God has given us? Paul tells the disciples that John's baptism was for repentance. When they were baptized in Jesus' name, the Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. Something new was created in them. They were disciples before. They believed in Jesus before, but now it's different. Now they're transformed. They were a new creation. They knew they were loved, and they had a new energy. Todd Weir writes a blog that I quoted from before called Blooming Cactus. And in a piece entitled Baptism, Mystery, and Creativity, where I kind of got some of the idea for this sermon, he writes the following. Two famous scientists take opposite approaches to creativity. Edison said, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." He said that nothing he ever did was an accident, but the result of hard work. In contrast, Albert Einstein, who also worked hard, believed that imagination was that 1% that means everything. The most beautiful thing we can experience, Weir goes on to say, is the mysterious. It's the source of all true art and science. He and she to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. Their eyes are closed. We can affirm both scientists, that he says, as being right about creativity. Yet my spiritual sensibilities favor Einstein. Mystery, imagination, and spirit. But like Todd, I also favor Einstein. And I'm not even good at algebra, so. I know and have seen the effects of people who are loved and know they are loved, reaching out and loving others in wonderful creative ways. And we all can come up with names. Shortly before we started this morning, I just wrote down quickly. Martin Luther King Jr. took his baptism, his love of God and God's love for him, and almost single-handedly brought about the civil rights movement. Think of people like Henry Nouwen and Thomas Merton, Catholic spiritual people who wrote books, who taught, who did and learned stuff from different traditions and touched the lives of people and helped them to feel closer to God, to feel their connection with God. And that was all coming out of their own sense of being loved by God, their own baptism. But it's not just about famous people, it's about people like you and I. I recently came across the following story. It's a true story. The author writes, "I watched intently as my little brother was caught in the act. He sat in the corner of the living room, a pen in one hand and my father's brand new hymn book in the other. As my father walked into the room, my brother cowered slightly. He sensed that he'd done something wrong. And from a distance, I could see that he had opened my father's new hymnal and scribbled in it the length and breadth of the first page with a pen. Now, staring at my father fearfully, he and I both waited for his punishment. And as we waited, there was no way we could have known that our father was about to teach us a deep and lasting lesson about life and family. Lessons that continue to become even clearer through the years. My father picked up the prized hymnal looked at it carefully, and then sat down without saying a word. Books were precious to him. He was a clergyman and the holder of several degrees, and for him, books were knowledge. And yet, he loved his children. What he did next was remarkable. Instead of punishing my brother, instead of scolding or yelling or reprimanding, he sat down, took the pen from my brother's hand, and then wrote in the book himself, alongside the scribbles John had made. And this is what he wrote. John's work, 1959, age 2. And he continues, "How many times have I looked into your beautiful face and into your warm, alert eyes looking up at me and thanked God for the one who has now scribbled in my new hymnal. You have made the book sacred, as have your brothers and sister, to so much of my life." The author then writes, "Now, I too am a father, and like my dad, a clergyman and holder of degrees, but unlike my father, I do not wait for my daughters to secretly take books from my bookshelf and scribble in them. From time to time, I take one down, not just a cheap paperback, but a book that I know I will have for many years to come, and I give it to one of my children to scribble or write their names in. And as I look at their artwork, I think about my father, the lessons he taught me, the love he has for us, which I have for my children. Love that is always at the very heart of family." That's creative love at work in one's life. That's creative love at work in the life of a person who knows that they are loved. The love that we are to have for the whole human family, not just our biological families. That is the point of us. To take the love of God announced to us through our baptism and in a wonderful creative way, share it with others. There's no telling what we can do with the help of God's creative genius at work within us. You, my friends, you and I are one of God's beloved. Feel it. Use it. Share it. That is the point of us. Amen.